entitled, The Babies Are Coming. That's what God laid on my heart. The babies are coming. A baby is an extension of your life. A baby is one of the proofs and the evidences that you ever existed. A baby is a part of you that is so mysterious it cannot be unraveled. A baby is a part of you that, if you nurture, will nourish you when you are old. A baby is many things. And the Lord will have me tell you that it's not over yet because your babies are coming. Your own baby may be a vision. Your own baby may be a destiny. Your own baby may be a marriage. Your own baby may be whatever. It may be finances. But definitely I speak under the grace of God today. The babies are coming. Yeah. Let your amen be louder than your neighbor's. Yeah. I have just one text tonight and it's in the book of Genesis. Chapter number 38. I'm going to read the beginning of that scripture and then I'll read the end. Genesis chapter 38. Is it not amazing? Genesis 37 tells us the story of Joseph. How he began to roam around. I don't have the time to talk about that because you need somebody when you wander in the wilderness to show you the way. And then Genesis 39 tells us how his life begins. But in between 37 and 39, God sandwiches the story of a woman. And I think it is worthy of note. Her name is Tamar. And we see her in this Genesis 38. Tamar means the palm tree. When her parents had her, they were prophetic. Because every part of the palm tree is very useful. From the beginning to the end, from the top to the bottom, every part of the palm tree is useful. But her life did not show the pictorial image of her name. Her life was the direct opposite of what her name was. See, at the beginning, she got married. The husband became wicked. There are still many wicked husbands. And God did not kill the man. God slew the man. There's a difference between killing and slaying. So the man, and there are husbands that are being slain today. They are not dead though, but they are walking corpses. Because of the way they treat their wives. I won't go into that. According to the Jewish culture, the junior brother decided to marry her, or the father decided to give her to the junior brother, as if she was a property. And that one did not want to obey the Jewish culture, so he allowed the sperm to fall on the ground, so the woman would not be pregnant. And God decided to kill that one too. So the man said, and that's where I'm taking the story from, that was the father, Judah. The Bible says that in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 38. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at your father's house till Shelah my son be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. So this is the beginning of her story. After two husbands died over her. Forgive the transliteration. The father-in-law looked at her and said, your case has become impossible. You don't look like somebody that any good thing can come out of her life. Can you please pack your stuff and return to your father's house? Now look at me, everybody. Do you want to picture the day Tamar moved to her father's house with her load, no pregnancy, no baby? Maybe her chief bridesmaid was in the village that day. Maybe the people that poured water on her leg the day she got married, maybe they were there. Maybe those children that were among the bridal train, maybe they were there that day. And then she moved empty-handedly into that house. Now, can you imagine the spectators? Can you imagine the backbiters and the gossips? Wow! I knew it that woman is a witch. Can you imagine her competitors? People that wanted to marry her husband. Yeah, that young man will have married me. I knew it. Did you notice the way her leg was turning and touching the ground? Can you imagine what would have been said about her that day? Can you just imagine? Because I don't have all the time to analyze this.
And she returned to the place where she used to be honored. She returned in shame. She returned empty. She returned without celebration. She returned and everything looked impossible for her. But between that story that I just told and the last few verses of that scripture, the Bible says in verse 27, and it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. Possibilities. Twins were in her womb. Statistics have proved to us that there are over 7 billion human beings on earth, and only 2% of them can ever give birth to a set of twins. I'm privileged. I prayed. I didn't deliver. But I thank God I have 2 grandsons. 2 twin grandsons. I thank God that, you know, I still carry them today. Ah, children are sweet, but grandchildren are sweet. If Jesus tarries, you will carry your own. Okay, this prayer I just prayed for you. You will carry your own grandchildren. The people that got married before that lady did not have a set of twins. The people that mocked her did not have a set of twins. That was why I prayed earlier on that God will give you miracles that will look like a lie. Yeah. I thought somebody would catch it. Yeah. Let's quickly look at what happened between the first story I told you and this last one. Twins were in her womb and she delivered. After her father-in-law sent her back, the Bible says she wore her widowhood attire. Only God knows for how long. And then one day, heaven orchestrated an event that looked very impossible, that looked very unusual. It's still a mystery to me. Judah, the same man that relegated her, that disgraced her, that misbehaved, that did everything to frustrate this young lady, decided to visit where this young lady was living. And the Bible said she removed her widowhood garment, made up herself, and sat by the way. And this same man walked up to her, thinking she was a prostitute. People will bless you by mistake. I didn't come here tonight to preach you. I came to prophesy, so don't miss it. People will bless you by mistake. God will give you miracles that look like a lie. The same place where you have been disgraced, you will be celebrated. And the same man approached her and said, excuse me, can I sleep with you? Now listen, beloved. This lady lived in that man's house for years. What are you telling me? You mean he could not recognize her? If he couldn't recognize her physique, what about the voice? When God is involved, any good thing can happen. Many years ago, I'm sure it's over 20 years now. Many years ago, my husband and I went, you know, those days at the embassy, American embassy, when you queue. We got there very early. I think we got there about 8 or so, and the queue was so long. I said to my husband, darling, did they not sleep? Did they sleep here? And we got to know that some people have been there since 4 a.m. I said, where are Nigerians traveling to? Oh my God, what's going on here? So we just queued as the last. I was in the front, my husband was next. It was like a labyrinth. It went on and on. Suddenly, one of the officers came out from a totally different door. And I understood that that door, they usually don't open it. So we all had to turn a little. He held like a microphone, or what do you call it? That megaphone in his hand. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have decided that you will come in through this door today. It's a very unusual one, but that's the instruction we have at the top.
Everybody, can you turn? Remember, I was on the front. My mother was like, my mother just pushed me, said, come to the front. So, that's okay. And the man opened, it was a tiny gate. He opened. He told me to walk in. My husband came in, the next person, and the next person. Four of us, he said, can you please stop? Then, as we were going in, I was eavesdropping. He said, I'm so sorry to say that we are able to take only these four people. And you know, today is Wednesday. Tomorrow, Thursday. Next tomorrow, Friday, we have public holidays. Holidays, so you will have to come back. As we were going, I said, darling, let me rub my mouth. I said, don't be like a bush person. Just, pamora. I said, Jesus Christ, Jehovah. When God is involved, situations become unpredictable. To me right now, that he's going to bring your way in an unusual way, men and money. I must make sure that the preacher in me does not come out tonight. Men and money. Say, I receive it. Now listen, if you don't believe, if you don't like me, if you don't believe in a woman preacher, see me as Mr. Dejumo for the next 20 minutes so that you can be blessed. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Say, I believe my portion.
I believe
my portion. Because God told me that I am not just a preacher. I am a divider of inheritances and a distributor of portions. Remember, recently, I looked at my mates and I couldn't find my mates among my mates. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you what the grace of God has done in my life. I used to hop to pay school fees as the head girl in my school. I don't know how many children I'm paying their school fees now. I don't know how many widows are blessing me now. There's something called the grace of God. If you don't like the person, it doesn't matter. God does not need your approval. God does not need your approval. Who are you? He doesn't consult you to bless me. And if you think my blessing is disturbing, you can go to the sea. God is going to give you men. And he's going to give you money. Speaking as a prophet, you need men, you need human beings. Don't live a life that you don't need people. You need people. And in your last show, may God give you men and money. So this is a mystery. The man could not recognize this woman because when God turns to you, it becomes your turn. It was her turn. Only four women are linked to the lineage of Jesus. And this woman was one of them. Matthew chapter 1. Only four women. And you know, we have more women than men in the world. She somehow, we shall not write a month, she shall squeeze herself inside. So she sat that day. She said to herself, I refuse to stay with my past. I believe in the God of possibilities. Somebody said, look at you. You are a divorcee. Nobody can marry you again. Who said so? Look at you. You had three children when you were in secondary school. No man, no single man. I've seen miracles in these 55 years of mine. Somebody tells you, look at you in your family. Let them shut up. Because when the grace of God is speaking, your mistakes no longer count. Bible tells me that the man approached her and said, will you sleep with me? Hear what she said. Oh yeah, I'm ready. I know that Jesus will come via Judah, and here you are. You sent me packing, but now you have come to meet me in my house. I'm ready. I'll use what I have. So the man slept with her. The moral of the story, let's not go into that. The man slept with her and left. before the man slept with her, she said, "What will you give me?" Some of you are too cheap. You don't know how to negotiate. You're too cheap. You go for an interview. You look down. You look down on yourself. You are in a relationship. The man beats you and slaps you, and you sit there praying. That is not faith. That is foolishness. Because the covenant of life is superior to the covenant of marriage. If you die, there's no marriage. Any man that slaps you deserves a psychiatric attention. I have a home for abused women. One of the very first clients that came, a young lady. I wasn't even around when she was admitted. When I came, I was in the office and I saw that, you know, she was pregnant. Young girl. Very fair complexion. And I saw the wounds on her. I was in tears. Then the administrator said, "Mommy, don't cry yet until you see." By the time she pulled up her dress, I saw, "What? Who beat you? Who did this to you?" The husband. Why? Because the young lady said, sorry, the man said, "You must sleep with another woman, man, in pregnancy so that we can get money from the man." And she said, "No. I don't have to be a born-again Christian to know that this is wrong. No." And he used hot steering iron. Beg your pardon. Hot steering rod. To beat her. I made sure he was jailed. Am I a Christian? Yes. Heaven bound. I'm going to heaven. In case you don't know, go and check the list. Book of life. I made sure he was locked up. Association of women, female leaders, female lawyers, they help us, they support us. I reported the case. I made sure that police locked him up. How can you beat a woman like this? A pregnant woman who was standing on truth that she will not sleep with anybody. Any man that raises his hand to beat you does not deserve your love. Am I speaking against marriage? No, I'm a marriage counselor, but I'm speaking in defense of life. Don't marry a man that slaps you if you are still cutting. Don't marry a man that you are the only one giving him things in courtship. Handkerchief. And he knows when your food will be ready. Don't marry a man like that. Never marry a man that tells you he must sleep with you before he marries you. It's a bicycle wait for your Bentley. He does not deserve it. Marry a woman that holds your tongue and says, "You're not going out today. You're not going out because you had a misunderstanding." She doesn't deserve you. She does not fit your palace. I said something recently when I was preaching at this time. I want to repeat it. If you are a woman that nags and complains at home, "If you don't give me money to cook soup, if you don't, you will not eat today." You are the only one remaining in that class. We have left. Women have left that class. What do we do these days? Whether the man gives money or not, we cook. We set the table. While the man is eating, we are touching him and massaging his ego and blessing him. When the man is full and satisfied, we now use tithe to collect our money back. And it works. It works. So the woman said, "What will you give me before you sleep with me?" The man said, "I will give you a kid goat." The woman said, "What did you just say? Is that my worth?" Don't forget, we're looking at possibilities. It looked as if that woman should be thankful. "You better be thankful. You will have married. You better take it." She said, "That is not my worth. That's not my worth. A kid goat, not even a goat, a kid goat." I asked some married women recently. I said, "If your husband were to repay your dowry after 5 years or 10 years or 30 years, will he reduce it or increase it?" By reason of the value you have added to him. And you think I'm not speaking the Bible? The Bible says that when David wanted to marry Micah, Saul said, "Give me as dowry. Just give me 100 foreskins. David said this woman deserves more. David gave him 200. So will your husband reduce or increase it? It's a food for thought. Add value to your husband. If your husband is not standing, make him stand. After your husband is standing, make him outstanding. Believe in him. You are looking for a fiercely loyal, covenant, committed wife. I stand here to tell you this. Some years ago, the Lord relocated us from Ibadan. I was born there. That was what I was used to. So, United States of Akure. We're not from that place. We're from Oshun, but that's where we are, our primary place of assignment. And when I stepped into the city of Akure, I prayed only two prayers. Number one, Father, I said they mention women that are useless, women that are doing nothing, only giving birth to children, having sex, cooking. Lord, let it please you that my name will be missing. But Lord, before they mention 10 women that you have laid your hands on and you are using to impact, let it please you to have my name on that list. I said, number two, Lord, I didn't know that my husband will ever be a pastor. He was a town planner when I married him. He just finished from the University of Ibadan. And I thought, oh, that's my friend. We're going to have a private life. And now you called him. I said, God, you know how you dealt with me? And now I'm in under city. I said, Father, I give you my word today. I will so much stand by Felix Adejumo. If he fails, hold me responsible. Hold me responsible. 30 years running. My husband is one of the most genuine men of God on earth. I told him, if you cough, darling, I am blessed. If you sneeze in church, I am blessed because you live what you preach. Anybody can testify, but let's listen to your spouse. Let me listen to your children, and then I can decide if you deserve my respect. Anybody can behave in church. That woman said, kid goat, not me. The man said, what do you want? She said, I want your ring. I want your bracelet. And I want your staff. Those three things are significant. Madam, it is possible. Uncle, you can negotiate anything. Impossibility is not in the dictionary of God. Possibility. It may look big, it may look, but it's possible. What we got to understand, people, pastors told us, churches do not grow here. When the Archbishop Benson, that was our father in the Lord, came for the first time to our church, he said, there is something about this man of God. Even I planted a church here, I didn't germinate, not to talk of grow. It may look impossible, it may be rational to think that that business is not possible. I'm going to read a few, just for like 2 minutes. I did some research. I'm going to read out the biographies of just 5 women to you. It may look impossible, but do something. It is possible. You can do it. You can. Try it. One step. And then the next step. And then the next step. And the next step. I remember when we got married, somebody walked up to me and said, how is you calling your husband? We're the only one in the church then. Calling your husband, darling, darling, darling. Yeah, matter suyi. 34 years go so well. It's just getting better and better. Dear to be different. Impossible? No. The Wright brothers, were they not told in 1912 or so that nobody can fly the aircraft? When you board the aircraft, you hear what they say? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you on board. Tonight we have 374 passengers, 5 children inclusive. Don't talk of cargo and corpses. Are they not flying? If you can take it, you can do it. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. I came here tonight to make you angry. If you are not tired of where you are is tired of you. What do you give as offering? And then because of that, you think you have arrived. 10,000 naira, you sign check. 100,000. And that's all. What is your type? What car are you riding? Kenneth Copeland said, once in a while, when he's tired of planet Earth, he jumps into one of the planes and then he flies. He said, I stayed there for about 2 hours, pray in tongues, and come back to planet Earth. Hear what he said. He said, it is cooler up there. He wasn't born with any spoon in his mouth. I came here tonight to make you angry. Man, wake up. Your life can be better. The babies are already coming. They are waiting. Wake up and do something more with your life. Do something more. We're dedicating the hospital, like I told you. I just told my husband a few days ago, I said, what about that land? He said, yes. I said, let's start a school of nursing. As far as I'm concerned, your study is finished. As far as I'm concerned, the school of nursing is finished. I don't want to die as a woman. I want to die as an institution. That after I'm gone, they are still doing research about my life. It is possible. Do something. Not just getting pregnant every year should stop for you. Every June you are pregnant. You have boys, you have girls. You are looking for a man for that? These only babies you came to this world to have. Do something with your life. A widow must go home tonight thanking God for you. One boy in the university must be sending prayers to you because you are paying the school fees. 5 years ago, I told my husband, I just finished some serious fasting and praying and worship. And I walked up to him and said, I've come to speak to you today, sir, not as your wife, but as a member of your church. I said, I have encountered God and I have given him my covenant word. I said, darling, from now on, you'll be seeing straight checks written by me in the offering buckets. If God, if you as my pastor prays for 3 million, God will ask you, is Funke no longer a member of your church? I said, that's where I want to be operating now. And God had, and God has been faithful. What is sitting down criticizing? Is that a ministry? It's not like we should not pay tithes. Put your life, the life of that person on one scale. Put the person that said you should pay on another scale. Which one do you prefer? Because you look like what you look at. What right have you to tell me how to spend my money? What did you contribute to it? Were you the one that came to pray for me when I was having my babies? When I was burying my grandmother, were you the one that came? Were you my pastor that came at 2 a.m. when I had an issue with my husband? So what right have you to tell me how to spend my money? What are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? There is nothing that is not possible. I was in the U.S. when they were voting. I stayed glued like this. Who would have thought that Trump will win with all those accusations? Face front. Some of you, enough of the ministry of explanation. Explaining to people. Shut up and face front. And reply your critics with more results. Give your backbiters more dust to eat. I'm here tonight to challenge you. Some of you are running behind schedule. Do something better with your life. Something good. Don't let your wife feel it is a crime that she's married to you. Pamper her. Treat your wife well. Bless your children. In case you are here and you have 4 children, you must have 4 properties minimum so that those children will bless your memory. Don't die the way your father died. Don't end the way your grandparents ended. Don't live your life in such a way that you will be waiting for your children to send you airtime before you can make a call. When your children come in and they give you $1 million, let them feel privileged. That is the way I want you to plan your life. I don't know why I'm saying this, because this is not what I planned to say. But I know God is here and he has a word for somebody here. Nothing is impossible. I'm here to tell you. I proved it. Some people were born with silver spoon. Some were born with gold spoon. I wasn't born with any spoon. Any spoon. Sometimes I would go to school without any pants on. No shoe. Hug 4 times a day. It's amazing. Once you make up your mind to love God and to serve him, I tell you, not even the sky is your limits. His staff represents something. His signet represents something. You remember that in the book of Daniel? That was what kings used to seal. The bracelet represented something. That woman said, give the three to me. And you know men, when it comes to sex, there's nothing they can't do. That's why some women, married women, when it is sex time, they become the commander in chief. Is the door locked? The man will say, let me go and check. I want to drink water. The man will say, is it cold or warm? The man removed the staff, removed everything. Check! And he made love to her. When it was now judgment time, somebody said, excuse me, your daughter-in-law is pregnant. Blah, blah, blah. Out of wedlock. The man said, yes, we're going to kill her. So they came to burn her. And then she said, before I die, the man that owns this impregnated me. The man said, you are more righteous than I am. So that same disgraced woman, that woman that everybody looked at and said, she doesn't have a husband. She doesn't. She's not a sister. She doesn't have a child. She cannot have her. That same woman that gave birth to a set of twins that belonged to Jesus' lineage. What can God not do? And what can you not do? That business can be better. That marriage can be better. Your children can make it. God can turn things around. I bet you. Yes, they can. I want to ask you a few questions and then I'll be done. Number one, who are you? Have you defined yourself? Because the babies are coming. Who are you? You don't need to be in any competition with anybody. You don't need to live your life to please anybody. Just let God be pleased no matter who is offended. Number two, what do you always think about? Some of you pray and pray and pray. 4 hours you are still praying. But you say, I just prayed 6 hours. I just want to beg you tonight. Can you just reduce it to 1 hour and sit down to think for 5 hours? Think. Sit down and think. There are books inside you. Some of you are engineers. Simplify engineering for us. Some of you are teachers. Simplify mathematics. Some of you are here today. You can cook. Put the recipe. Just a little book. People don't read big books anymore. Do something. The babies are there. And they want to come. Push. And let them come out. It's possible. Let them come out. That's what we feed you. Sometimes I preach in Paris every year. Many times I go to Paris. And the honorarium I get there is more than, beg your pardon, is smaller than the books that I sell. My books have been translated. And there are books sitting here. Do something. You're going to wake up and discover that you are 72. You're aging. When people look at you and say, you look 16, say thank you for deceiving me. Thank you. Every morning I jump before I have my bath. Sometimes I used to do 300. Now, like today, I did only 70. Age is telling. You're going to wake up and realize. Push it out. The babies are coming. What do you see? What do you see? Number four, what do you hear? Who do you listen to? What do you hear? Number five, what do you believe? What do you believe? Number six, who do you company with? Just a few more minutes, I'll be done. Who do you company with? Show me your friend and I can predict what your life will look like in 5 years' time because you smell like the company you keep. Your friend is the prophecy of your future. Who do you company with? A woman called Elizabeth I of England. This is where I'm closing. I just want you to know that it's possible. She was a great ruler. Hear what she said. I know I have the body of a weak and feeble woman, But I have the heart and the stomach of a king. Though God has raised me high, yet this I count the glory of my crown, that I have reigned with love. She was a ruler. She ruled England. A woman. Weakness should not stop you. Look at Eleanor Roosevelt. Her husband was struck with polio. She organized his election as governor. The man won. It was the wife that organized the election. And then 6 years after, she organized the election and the man became the president of America. You gain strength, courage, and confidence by the very experience in which you really stop to look at fear in the face. Number three is a woman called Elizabeth Fry. In Houston today, you have Fry Road. She had 10 children, but she was a prison reformer. She didn't do anything sophisticated. She just went to prisons, read Bibles to prisoners, and they sat in respectful silence. And many of them got saved. Another person, Mary McLeod. She opened a school for black girls in Florida. She was the 15th of 17 children. She was born to slave parents. She was the first woman to head a federal agency. Pioneers always open the way and pay the price for future generations. Choose one. The last one, Margaret Thatcher. She was the first prime minister elected 3 times to office in the 20th century. She was the daughter of a grocery owner, you know, like a supermarket. And her father was also a Methodist lay preacher. She was a deep thinker and a great doer. Hear what she said. Possibilities. I don't have to compete with a man and his position. I have my own position. And I am content with it. Be comfortable in your skin. Push your wife to limelight. Help her do that business. Help your husband when he tells you it doesn't look possible. Pump possibility to your husband. Wake him up in the night and say, look, Adeolu, this is possible. See where God has brought you to. I want you to be a blessing. I am in your life for this. I'm sure some of you have heard what Bill Clinton said. When Bill Clinton was president, and one day he was in the car with Hillary, and they got to the petrol station, and they were going to fill their tank. And the man that was the petrol attendant was the person that wanted to marry Hillary. Hear what Clinton said. Bill said, Hillary, that will have been your husband, so you will have been the wife of a petrol attendant. Hillary said, no. If I had married him, he would have been the president of America. Rise up on your feet. I just came tonight to stir the waters. They are still coming to preach and define possibility. I want to tell you as a midwife that put your hand here on your lungs. The babies want to come out. The babies are coming. Let them come. Efe, sing more songs. White House is calling you. Choir, sing again. Do something, my pastor's wives. Don't let the honor you will have be because you are a pastor's wife. Write books. Gather girls on the internet. The babies are there. It's time to deliver. Some of you, twins, triplets, single, male, more money, more businesses. It is possible. More petrol stations. You are doing one business. We thank God. Diversify. The babies are there. They want to come out. Push a little more. Push. Some giving, some prayers, some speaking, some coffee. Push and push. These babies want to come out. Richard Branson said, I have 100 organizations. Virgin Media, Virgin Radio, Virgin this, Virgin that. He said, I am not aware that there is recession in the world. I've spoken to you tonight, and And trust the Lord that testimonies will come.
Amen.
Clean your hands as if you want to receive something from the Lord. I bless these hands. I stand upon Psalm 1. And I decree that whatever you do from now on, you will prosper.
Amen.
Blessings shall not be far from you.
Amen.
God shall simplify your life.
Amen.
He will send you amazing help.
Amen.
He will surpass your expectations.
Amen.
The people that are supposed to help you, they will locate you.
Amen.
The mercy of God will locate you.
Amen.
I come against fear.
Amen.
I come against things that are making you think that it is no longer possible. You into destiny. You will matter where it matters. God will give you divine ideas. When the list of great people is being made in this nation, your name will not be missed.